A year, in fact, a little over a year ago, we got word back, I think it was somehow through John Van Gelderen, about a team from his brother's church, Falls Baptist Church, that had gone over to Cameroon, and they had seen God do some pretty amazing things there in evangelism and church planting and all. We were just thrilled at that report back. And just very exciting moment. And we wondered if they were anywhere close to where Zane and Pam Bachman are. And that we finally found out that they weren't in the same area of Cameroon. Zane and Pam were in northern Cameroon, and this happened at a different location. And so, but we were curious about that. But God was working last year. Well, this year worked out for David to go make the trip. He's a student up there at the college at Falls Baptist. And so, Lord worked it out for him to go. And so we got a firsthand report this year of that mission work and what the Lord did. He visited them again, and a real blessing. So I'm going to turn this over to David. May have another person or two coming in, David, but just kind of talk through it, if you will. So, brother, go right ahead.
All right. Well, I do have about a five-minute video so that I'm going to show right here at the start. And I'm going to talk for just a short time, very short time right after that. I don't want to keep you too long, but I really want to encourage you as you watch the video, as you hear what I have to say, think about questions you may have, and go ahead and be thinking about those. I'd prefer that people actually ask questions, because it's going to be very hard to communicate and describe exactly what happened. And I think if anything's unclear, I want to be able to help with that. So get the video first here.
The West African country Cameroon is home to nearly 20 million people. Often overlooked by men, but not forgotten by God, the people of the Akwaya region are bound by fear and superstition. They have religion, but no true gospel. For this reason, a team from Falls Baptist Church joined with Nationals and the Needham family in trekking in the Akwaya region to present the gospel to these people. The white harvest is real. Nearly 1,100 adults trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and several hundreds of children as well. There are now 20 villages with new bodies of believers prepared to be local churches. Many local chiefs accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and are prepared to lead their village forward for the cause of the gospel.
As you can see there with the video, we had 18 people from Falls Baptist Church, including myself, and 11 Baptist College of Ministry students and alumni traveled to Cameroon. And we spent most of our time in the Akwaya region of Cameroon. It's probably the one of the most backwater sections of Cameroon. You tell a Cameroonian national from one of their larger cities that you're going to Akwaya, and they say, why are you going there? There's nothing there. Just villages, jungle, there's no running water, no electricity, nothing. But that's where we went. We went there for two reasons: to distribute Bibles and preach the gospel in that region. It is one of the two major English-speaking regions of Cameroon. When I say English, they learn to read English in school, but they don't speak standard English. They speak a form of English known as Pidgin English. It's a very simplified English. It's a lot more, actually, as a Southerner, growing up and hearing Southern English, it's a lot closer to what we speak than proper English anyway. But so we were going in there carrying English Bibles, but when we preached, we generally had to preach with some kind of translation, just to make sure that the message was clear. In the villages that I went to, generally we were able to actually get a national Christian to translate into the local dialects, which was extremely helpful. But our group joined up with 22 nationals, and we split up into five teams, went across the Akwaya region on foot, because there really is no other transportation method out there. We're taken out there by plane. The missionaries flew us out there, and for a week we were out there in the bush among those villages. Our teams were able to go to 25 different villages, and in those villages the reception was incredible. As you heard on the video, the number of adults saved for sure that gave very clear testimonies was 1,090. And that was in a week's period. The number of the children we didn't count, because with the children, especially African children, they want to please the Americans, so they'll do whatever. So I no doubt many of them did get saved genuinely, but we didn't count them. We just counted the adults that were clear in their professions. And yet the Lord blessed, amazingly, 20 of those 25 villages had no Christian at all the day before we went in there. After we left, each of those villages has between 30 and 60 believers who are already prepared to form local churches. In fact, there was one village we went to. It's a village its name is hard to pronounce for anybody except for the people who live in the village. I can't even get it quite right, even after lots of practice, so I'm not even going to try. But we went there, and it was a small section of the village. It's split into two different sections, a smaller one and a larger one. And basically the entire section of that village showed up, about 30 adults or so. Well, 27 of them accepted Christ there. And on the spot, they said, we have to have a church here. And the national pastor that was with me, he explained to them, well, there is, just about 35, 40 minutes away, there's another village that already has a church started. You can go there for the time being until someone is able to come and lead your church. And they said, no, that won't work. Our children, our young children and our elderly people cannot make that journey. We have to have a church in our village. And so, right on the spot, they elected a leader. He wouldn't be a pastor at this point. He has no training. But they elected someone to lead their church, someone to receive training to be their pastor, and they formed a church on the spot. But that was just typical. Some of you that read the report, there was another village that one of our teams went to, and they preached to 100 people, and out of those 100 adults, rather, and out of those 100 adults, 80 trusted Christ. And then a man came up to them after the invitation, and he said, you have made a great mistake. If we had known a week ago that you were coming, you could have had 500 people here to listen, and they would have stayed. Generally, we would go into a village, would announce, we're going to have this meeting at such a time. We'll also give out Bibles. Have usually 90 to 95% of the village show up, and they would sit there for hours listening to the preaching, receive the Bibles. They would stay after the preaching was over to get additional instruction. At one village we went to, we preached during the evening and were going to leave the next day. And the next morning we had a service at 6:30 a.m. for the believers. And what had announced that about 9 o'clock the night before. You know, if you did that in the United States, if you did that at Crooked Creek, a 6:30 a.m. service, you probably wouldn't have an incredible showing. Well, the mud brick building that the church was held in was absolutely packed. Standing room only. There, a lot of the believers showed up. We had the unbelievers that showed up that morning for the service and heard about it, they got saved. And a lot of the believers, they were asking us all sorts of questions because the religion of the Acquia region is animism. They have, in each village, they have a village shrine, and then they have regional shrines that are more powerful. And we were in the village of Ngali. It's about 2 miles from the Nigerian border. And it is the home to the most powerful shrine in the Acquia region. And these believers in this village were asking questions about how to live and how to deal with idolatry, what their relationship should be to the town, to the people there, and to the idolatrous festivals. And the national pastor that was with me, we went straight to 1 Corinthians. Didn't need to make any application. Just take 1 Corinthians straight. And it was just like being in the first century. The paganism there is just raw paganism. There's nothing complicated about it. But what amazes me most about those people is there's really no difference between them and Americans, except for maybe two things. One, their idolatry is different. They're honest about their idolatry. They really worship idols. Whereas in America, we're not honest about it. And then second of all, those people knew they were sinners. You didn't have to work hard to convince them they were sinners. You ever tried to convince an American that he's a sinner? It's a whole lot harder. But really, at their core, those people are exactly the same. There's no fundamental difference. Their human nature is the same. And what God stirred me about while I was over there was the fact that here are people who are, at their core, the same as people here in the United States or anywhere else in the world. Why is it that we can see God move over there? We see over 1,000 people trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, genuinely saved and ready to become members of a local church. And it, over here, we don't see that happening. And I think it boiled down to a fact, to faith and expectation. Is that what I'm looking for God to do? Because honestly, it seemed like it was easy to preach to those people, but you know, God was overcoming a lot of things. One of the things that really, I think, made the difference was the national church in that region, Gateway Baptist Church, right in the center of that region. It's a church of about 30, 35 people. The week before we went in there, they had an all-night prayer meeting. Friday night and sat through Saturday. And God really met with them. And I think that's what made the difference. It wasn't that the people over there are easier to reach, but it's the fact that somebody took the time to come to faith and pray it through to victory. And the fact that they did that is what made the difference, not the fact that these people are automatically just ready to receive the gospel, but that somebody took the time to pray it through in faith. And you know what? If we would do that in our own area today, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, somebody would pray that through. Got to do the same sort of thing around here. And think about that. That was altogether 40 people, nationals and Americans, out there in the field. You got more than that here. We've got people here who know how to share the gospel, people who know how to pray. If a team of raw Americans and nationals who've never, most of those nationals have never been in that region before. A lot of them were young teenage boys. Never shared the gospel before. And yet God moves in a mighty way. It's not about us as a team. And there was nothing particularly special about those people in Acquia. It is God wants to work this way today if somebody will believe Him for it. So, anybody have any questions? And try to make it concise, short here. Animism is basically the belief that there are things in nature or objects that have power associated with particular demonic spirits usually. And so these shrines are not idols technically. What they are is there are some, like a rock or a statue or a piece of wood or something that supposedly is connected with a demonic spirit. And usually that's very true. The demonic spirit has used that item to gain power over a community and uses fear. And so these people, when you talk about the spirits, the evil spirits and the good spirits, they understand immediately what you're talking about. They understand God created the angels and then Satan took these angels and they became demons because they rebelled against God. They understand it, the biblical truth, because that's where they live, right in the middle of it. It's very real to them. So. Those were just walking sticks there. Those were just walking sticks, just nothing special there. Yes, ma'am. In the Acquire region, the adults go out into the bush and farm for sustenance. They produce just enough for them to live off of and sell just a little bit, hardly that. The kids that do go to school are sent off to the cities and go to school 3 months at a time. They do a trimester system there. So they go away for 3 months at a time, come back for a month, and go away 3 months, come back for a month. And so there are no schools in the villages at all. That's correct.
So the children can read?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And many of the younger adults can. Some of the older adults cannot. But in general, most of the people who would have taken the Bibles either could read themselves or had a family member who could read it to them. They're very eager to get the Bibles too because a lot of them had never touched one in their lives before. They familiar because news does travel in those areas. Charismatics and Catholics have been kind of touched that area a little bit. But they blended right in with the animism, with the demonic culture, and made no change. But there is some knowledge that there's something, that there is a Bible, there is God's Word somewhere. And they know that. And so for them to get their own copy of the Bible is like getting gold. You could see the pictures in there, those people, all gathered around this one man with a Bible, and all of them standing right around there. And so many of them had never seen a Bible before in their lives. We took about 8,000 or 9,000, I think.
So
all the believers and many of the others in the villages also, many of the unbelievers. And so, and if they read it, they won't stay unbelievers for long. All right. Any other? Islam is in that region. There is hardly any Islam at all. There is a group of people that are a nomadic sort of people called the Fulani. They are one of the world's top unreached people groups, and they are Muslim by heritage. And they are practicing Muslims, but they are not extremists. They are very nice people, very gentle people. In fact, the Needham family, the missionaries there, they've been on the field there for 30 years. After September 11th, the Islamic chief of that village, they call him the Lamido, he came to Mr. Needham and he apologized for what the Muslims had done to the United States. So that tells you what kind of Muslims these are. They're a lot. They will listen when you declare the gospel. They will listen to you. Many of them are afraid to take a public step of faith because it may cost them their lives. But they will listen. And we went out the following week after we were in the Acquire region. When we were around the Needhams for several more days, so we went out in the mountains around their village and went to the Fulani compounds and witnessed to many of them, and we know that at least six of them trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Six of the Muslims turned from Islam. And many of the others said, in fact, the one that I witnessed to particularly, he said these words, he said, "I know what you're saying is true." And he said, "I know that I must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and renounce Muhammad." But he said, "This is a hard thing to do." But they had to admit, when they heard the gospel preached, they had to admit, "This is true. We know it's true. We're afraid. It's hard for us to turn from Islam, but we know what you're saying is true." So, Well, the nationals actually over there are doing most of the work. They are very strong, very effective. There are five men in particular who have full seminary training and are leading the work out there, and they're more qualified than most American preachers. I can tell you that much. It's just an incredible set of nationals there, and they are really the ones spearheading the work, which was most encouraging. One of our team members actually stayed over there. He's staying for the next year to help get those churches established in those 20 villages. So. Pastor, did you hear that? She was just asking if we could take some time to pray for those Muslims who were witnessed to and admitted the truth but did not make a public decision. Okay. Right at the end? Okay. Anything else before we wrap this up? A lot of them, the missionaries, there are two missionaries there that are pilots, Mr. Needham and then another missionary, Sam Sanderlin. And so they flew back and forth many times, flew many boxes of Bibles out to the central town there, which is a quiet town there. And then many of the nationals then took them, boxes on their heads, and carried them miles out into the villages. Some of us did have to carry Bibles as well. But it was interesting. At one of the, in fact, our group, we had a national going with us carrying Bibles. It was about 4'8". And he would carry 2 32-pound boxes of Bibles on his head at the same time. And miles at a time.
What does that do? Right
away? They do it from childhood. And so they're used to it, I guess. But 9 or 10 miles at a time. And the nationals were definitely involved and at the forefront of the activities. So I saw a hand over here. Amen. Amen. Any other questions? Comments? Sir?
So, through your trip then, basically, you stayed at the village you spoke at that night, stayed overnight there to move on to the next one? Is that?
Yes, sir. One day, one village. We only had a week to get the Bibles to 25 villages. Really, and that's only enough time to preach the gospel and give out Bibles. That's not enough time to do the proper work for establishing a church. And we could spend years there, obviously, but I'm praying that the Lord will let me go back next summer and spend several months, be able to focus in on just a few villages and see some churches really get started, grounded solidly, because those nationals there get the vision to reach the other nationals, the other villages, then they can take care of it, and they don't need an American missionary out there to do it. And they've shown themselves quite confident. So. Yes, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's exactly what's happening. That's why one of our team members stayed. He's a BCM alumnus. His name is Glenn Swanson, and he believes the Lord has called him to missions ultimately, but he was there, and since the Lord didn't want him to leave. So he is staying for the next year along with the Nationals for the purpose of going back in and discipling those new believers and getting churches, strong churches established. That's why he's staying, and that's exactly what they're doing. In fact, the week after we left, they had already sent out a team of Nationals with him. And some of you know the Paris family. They've been with us a few times. David Paris was with us on that trip, and he actually stayed a couple more weeks as well and was able to go out back to some of those villages and get some work started, some of the follow-up, the discipleship work started. So that is definitely going on. That's the major, the heavy part of the work right now. That's where all the focus is. So, sir. No open opposition. The people there are culturally very friendly. You'd think you were in the South if you're there. They're just very friendly, and they don't like to offend people. They're very polite, and so open opposition would not be with their way. If there was opposition, it would be undercover, subtle, or they would, try to stir up trouble quietly and behind your back, but there wouldn't be a lot of open opposition. That's just not their way. And we didn't have any of that. In fact, as far as the civil government was very, very helpful. The chiefs in those villages were very open. In fact, I know for certain that at least three chiefs were saved, and possibly six or seven more. And then my team got to witness to a group of, a special forces unit. There were about six or seven of them that were off duty one Saturday, including their commander on the ground. And we went to their headquarters and gave them the gospel. And six of them trusted Christ, these special forces guys. And the commander actually, after he prayed the prayer, he stood up and he turned to the other special forces men, and he said, "If you don't make this decision to trust in Jesus Christ, I don't know what you're thinking." Because any military man knows that he's got to have his relationship with God right. Any military man knows he's got to know where he's going when he dies. And so he starts preaching at the moment he's saved. He turns around and starts preaching at him. So, anything else? All right.